Amen. Welcome to our evening service. Glad you are here tonight. I just want to go ahead and pray, and we will get started and spend some time with the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us. I pray we got some rest this afternoon for those who needed it. I pray for those that are here tonight, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us through your word. Lord, we just want to take a minute and just say thank you for how good you are to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Go, brother. Leave us in a song, brother. No idea what she was going to sing, but it's going to go right along with my message, I believe. So God knew what he was doing. I'll be honest with you, I struggled about what to preach tonight. I've obviously got a lot of stuff over 27 years that I preached, and I don't just pull something out and rehash it. I try to make it applicable for the church I'm going to be at, and struggled today. Struggled on which spirit. You can ask a couple people. I've changed the message 3 times just since I've been here tonight. And so it's like I'm going a direction. I'm like praying like, okay, Lord, that's not it. So we'll see how it goes tonight. My desire is to encourage you tonight. Obviously, this morning I went rather long, more than I normally do. But praise God for the individual that walked out and got saved. So I'm not apologizing for that, but I'm super happy that happened. But once again, that's all of the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. It's all of him. And tonight I want to encourage you, Matthew chapter 11. If I didn't say that already, I apologize. I realize Sunday night is your core crowd. You in the mornings on Sundays when you have your visitors, and you'll have many people come to church because it's kind of, they feel out of obligation that Sunday morning, I've got to come. But to come on back on Sunday night, this is kind of be your core group. And I know the people in this room do the majority of the work in the church, whether it's behind the scenes or whatever it may be. And so tonight is my desire to encourage you in your service. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us tonight, please. I pray you'll just use me as a mouthpiece. Speak to to us, encourage us, especially the ones who are trying to labor, that we would learn about tonight, taking this yoke upon us. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I can't encourage you any better than Jesus. These are, if you have a red letter edition, these are words written in red and Jesus talking, and he is inspiring a call. Take my yoke upon you. There are some, in this verse, are some things that are involved in serving the Lord. The first thing we need to realize is the load of service. Take my yoke upon you. I don't know how many individuals in here grew up on a farm or near a farm, but a yoke is a harness put on oxen or other farm animals to enable them to pull some farm implement, a plow or whatever it may be. So when you think about this, and I have a, I don't tonight because I changed the message, but a picture of what a yoke looked like. And you see it, and when you see it without it being on a animal, it kind of looks like when they put you in the stocks and you got your head in there and your arms in there. And I think there's kind of a correlation there that I am surrendering and I am submitting to the Lord. So not only am I going to put this yoke on, put this load on, I'm also now going to be hooked to a load and pulling that. So it's not just putting this, I don't know how much they weigh, 100 pounds, I don't know what kind of wood it's made out of or what have you. Not only putting that on, and then I'm going to end up pulling, or the yoke is going to end up, the oxen are going to end up pulling a load behind them. Kind of a strange paradox, don't you think? That a man already weary and overloaded must take a new weight upon him in order to find rest. Think about that. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your souls. You're thinking, that doesn't make sense. I just put on more of a burden, if you will, and then I'm going to be hooked to another load, and I'm going to pull. How am I going to find rest? This sounds like more work. But I want you to connect the two messages from tonight, from this morning to tonight. If you're doing it by yourself and in your own strength, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, almost unbearable and unmanageable. But remember, I am doing it with God. I'm doing it for God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so when I come to realize the yoke is a harness put on the oxen, and once again to be able to do more work. And like I said, this is the crowd tonight that's usually doing the work of the church, whether it's the choir, the music, this, that, and the other. And it's like, we're already serving, and God's like, here, take my yoke upon you. Wait, I'm already working. I'm already serving. This advice is similar to Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Trust thy soul and thy concerns to him. He will carry both thyself and thy load. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. See, I want to be transparent. How many, don't raise your hand, how many of you, whether it's to come to this actual altar or the altar at your home or bowing down and fully trusting God with whatever the labor may be. when I can come and cast my burden and say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. Remember, without me, you can do nothing. I can't do it in my own strength. And going back, acknowledging, I am nothing. I'm just a servant. You want me to pull 10,000 pounds of a load, whatever's behind me? And I want you to realize, and I don't have the numbers of when you have two oxen, or I think about the sled dogs in Alaska, you don't just have two dogs, you're like 14 or 16. And I don't know farmers how many they'll put in a row, but the substantial number of weight that they can pull, distributed amongst all, it's amazing how much they can do. And when I realize that I'm yoked, obviously, with the Lord, but we're in this thing together. It's not a competition. It's, hey, I'm going to help pull, you're going to help pull, you're going to help pull. And all of a sudden, we're like, look what we just did. Look what the Lord just did. That he enabled and allowed us to be able to do it. But once again, to come back to God and just submit, surrender, whatever you want to call it. Lord, I'm going to cast my burden upon you. And people say, well, I don't want to think playing the piano is a burden. I don't want to think teaching Sunday school class is a burden. I don't want to think preaching is a burden. But once again, that weight that I carry, I try to explain to people. I've seen many preachers since I retired from pastoring and travel. And they're like, man, you look good now. You looked peaceful and happy and like a weight has been removed. And I said, you have no idea. When you carry that weight of pastoring a congregation of people that have burdens, that have problems, that have situations, and as a pastor, you're trying to meet those needs, you're trying to disciple, you're trying to make hospital visits, you've got a funeral, you've got a wedding, you've got this, you still got to preach on Sunday, you still got all the counseling, you still got, and it's a massive burden. And I'll be the first one to tell you, pastors need to go to the altar and cast their burden upon the Lord. I can't do this without you. Your pastor is not Superman. He, like I said, he may be divinely appointed by God, but he is still human. And he needs to surrender to God, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Go back, cast your burdens and have him lift you up. The Jews had been under the yoke of the law. Now Christ says, take my yoke upon you. Become one of my disciples. Taking the yoke not only involves a load, but it also involves commitment. Once that yoke is upon you, the commitment begins. A lot of people, well, I will substitute and I'll teach Sunday school one time on that one Sunday while somebody's gone, but you want me to commit to 13 weeks or a quarterly or however, it's too much. I love the Lord, it's good, but that commitment's a little too much. Can I tell you, you will not serve Christ much if you're unwilling to carry a load, if you're unwilling to be tied down to a task. You know, when I surrendered to preach, and then all of a sudden I found out all the other stuff that goes along with it, I thought I was just going to preach. Oh, no, no, no. There's a difference between preaching and pastoring. A whole other realm. And a lot of people, I want to preach. But you don't want the rest of it that comes along with it. And it may even be the study time. Can I tell you, to get up one time and do a 15-minute devotion, I believe probably every husband leader in their home should be able to do something like that. Because you're supposed to be leading your family. You're supposed to be having devotions and helping your kids and your loved ones understand the Bible. So other than the public speaking part, I believe we should all be able to do something in that capacity. But that's not a full-time commitment. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. And that is a big difference, and we need to realize that. But once again, Satan says this yoke looks too heavy and it's burdensome. You don't need that yoke. But if you're not under the yoke of the Savior, you're going to be under the yoke of sin. And those who have been there know how heavy that weight is. Burdened. I've talked to many people that come and they say, no way Jesus can save me because you don't know all that I've done. How far away from God I've been. You don't know. And I'm like, I don't have to know. And that's a good time where you can use your testimony. You don't know how far gone I was. You don't know what sin I was in when God came to me. And people look at, well, you didn't get, you have no idea. I have no idea and you have no idea. We can get all cleaned up and come to church and look like, man, he's just got it all together. You don't know where I was 10 years ago. You don't know where I was 20 years ago. But God did. And God does. And it says, when God forgives much, that person's going to love much. I am so grateful and thankful for what God's done for me. So when it comes along, and I say it all the time, I am privileged to serve God in some capacity. And I say, it doesn't have to be here. I mean, God wants you to do what I talked about this morning, whatever it may be, an honor to serve him, to put that yoke upon me and take it. The load of sin is the most burdensome load of all. So easy is the yoke of Christ that to the faithful Christian, it's a pleasure other than a trouble to bear it. That God would allow me to be used and a part of it. But once again, and I think about these missionaries, what do you say, being 70 years old and still serving? I do not see too many young people surrendering to be missionaries. I don't know how old your missionaries were, the average age for this mission conference. But it's not like you get 23-year-olds coming out of college and let's go serve God. They look at that as burdensome. That's a big weight to carry. And unfortunately, you got people 60, 70 having to stay longer on the field because nobody's replacing them. Nobody's coming. The missionary family I stayed with in Sri Lanka, they're 65. Now I'm 55, that's 10 years, and that's, you know, from 55 to 65, that's a big difference in how reacting to your body. But I'm looking at them, and I say, he goes, I hope God lets me stay here 10 more years. I'm like, 75 on the field in a foreign country? If God allows you to do that. But I'm also thinking, with age is going to come more burdens. You're going to be less active, less able to do certain things that you could have done when you were younger. And even though I'm 10 years younger than him, and I'm thinking, I can't imagine serving in that capacity. Because God called him there, not me. Now, if God called me there, where God guides, God provides, he would equip and he would make it work. But once again, it should not be a burden. It should be a pleasure to bear it. He is a master who will never require of us more than he will give us grace to perform. Nor lay a greater burden on us than we're able to bear. You know, I've said many times, I suffer from migraines and I've had some health issues, and I've cried out to God saying, I can't handle this anymore. Just take me home. Take me out. I'm tired of the pain. And I'm reminded, I will not give you more than you can handle. So you're saying I can handle more than this pain? And I usually wake up the next morning and I feel better and I go on about my day. And it's like, what if he'd have taken me last night? You said you couldn't handle it anymore. So when you think you're at the end of your rope, he's not going to give you more than you can handle. You're stronger than you think. You can carry a load more than you think. You can go further than you think. Because if I'm doing it in my strength, I'm tired. I need to sit down. I can't go any further, Lord. It's because you're doing it in your strength. When I'm yoked up and let's go. And when you're yoked up to maybe somebody else that is excited, they're on fire for the Lord. And you're both serving in the same capacity, and they encourage you and get you going. That was my desire going to Sri Lanka. I knew they were an older couple. And I just want to kind of give them a little B12 shot, and them like, we can hand out more tracks. We can go do more stuff for God. And since I've left, we text almost every day. I was telling about today. He says, praying for him for the services, praying for you. And it's just, it's awesome to know we're in this together. I'm not alone and he's not alone. But secondly, learning in service. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. One of the compensations for serving Christ is to learn of him, learn spiritual things. A few years ago, a new Sunday school teacher commented to me that since she had started teaching Sunday school, it helped her learn so much more of the Bible. And over at Drake, we talk about just studying devotional stuff and how much more you learn. Trying to teach, you got to realize you got 5 and 6 year old, 10, 12 year olds, adult class. And so you got to study to share the word of God. And you start learning more and more. And that little 15 minute thing you thought you had, you're chasing this and God's showing you this and you're adding this. And pretty soon you've been studying for a couple of hours. You're like, I was just going to sit down for a few minutes. And then you get excited. I don't know how many times I'd be studying and I'd come home at lunch and I'm like, oh, babe, guess what? Guess what I found in the Bible? I'm just going to give you a nugget, but I've got to share it with somebody. I can't wait till Sunday. Did you know this word means this and it's used over here too? And you see the correlate? Oh, she's like, that's good. I'm like, you don't. She didn't have the 3 hours of study that I had. She hadn't put it all together. She goes, I'll just wait till Sunday. I'm like, but I gotta tell somebody. Learn, take my yoke and learn of me. It's one thing people come in, I want to serve God. Here's your yoke, and you put it on, and you get going, and usually you'll quit. Because you're just doing it. You're just doing it. So I want to take this yoke and I want to learn of him. Studying to teach is work, but it's very rewarding. But spiritual ignorance is a lot of those who refuse to serve. Think about it. Those who aren't serving probably don't know a whole lot of Bible. Think about that. Those who just come in Sunday morning Christians and leave, they probably don't know a whole lot of Bible. Because the more you study, the more you learn of him, that he was meek and lowly, he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant. Wow, he's not asking me to do anything he's not already done. He's not that supervisor yelling at you, go do this and you do that. No, 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 I'm the boss. He's down there picking up the cross and carrying it. He's the one washing the feet. He's already lived that example for us. And so who are we to say, I can't serve you? Christ already humbled himself. He's not asking me to do anything that he has already not led by example. So we learn of him when we take his yoke upon us. But you see, number three, lowliness in service. Learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. Humility and meekness are in themselves yokes, as they are contrary to our pride and the aptness to swell in high opinion of ourselves. He left heaven, took on the form of a servant. He deserves every praise and accolade for who he is, and he laid that aside to become a servant. I don't know who we think we are, that we're somebody, that we're better than somebody, that we're on that totem pole and climbing up the ladder. Jesus was at the top. He is at the top. But he became meek and lowly. So it's not learn of me because I've got power of Christ. I can do all things. This is awesome. Don't you wish you were as strong as me? Don't you wish you could pull as much weight as me? Don't you? No, he's meek and lowly. He's doing the job. He has a yoke on. He's doing what God wants him to do. If we would serve Christ, we must be like him and be meek and lowly in heart. Wherever pride and anger dwell, there is nothing but mental labor and agony. But when the meekness and humility of Christ dwell, all is going to be smooth, even, peaceable, and quiet. Because it's the peace of God. If you're laboring like I talked this morning, and Paul and them are all doing it for them, and the name recognition, and I'm better than Paul, I'm better than Apollos. No. He said, what are they? They are servants. They are ministers. When we can learn in a church from the top, we're just servants. We all have yokes we got to put upon us. But I want to do it as Christ said, take my yoke and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly not only means humility, but it also means submission to God. Taking on the yoke is a symbol of submission. Can I say you cannot serve unless you can humbly take orders. I spent 10 years in the Air Force. I was a drill instructor for the Air Force. I told people what to do all day long. I was the first. They come off the bus, their long hair, their civilian clothes, and they come to boot camp, and there I am. One reason my loud voice was able to project because I had to yell quite a bit. I was telling Brother Draper, I don't yell. I just talk in a voice loud enough that everybody can hear me. I'm not yelling. When I yell, you'll know when I'm yelling. It'll go a whole nother degree. But just like in the military, if that airman, that soldier, that whatever branch, if they can't submit to authority, they're not going to do well in the military. Because everybody answers to somebody. No matter, well, I'm the colonel. Well, guess what? There's somebody higher than you. Well, I'm a general. Guess what? There's somebody higher than you. But when you can come in and say, what's my job? Where do you want me to do it? Where's my tools? Whatever. All right, go. You submit and just do it. It's amazing. We'll do that for the military. But when God says, hey, I want you to do something. What? The commander comes out and wants you to say, sir, yes, sir. And you, what, yes, sir, and salute smartly and go make it happen. But when God says, hey, I want you to take my yoke upon you, I don't really think I want to do that. That sounds kind of heavy and sounds like work. But if the sergeant, commander comes out and he says it, sir, yes, sir. That's what I had to learn in the military. For me, my pastor told me, he goes, you're amazing. But you have a pride problem. I was like, what? Pride problem? He's like, yeah, you're cocky. And I said, no, I'm just confident. I can back it up. He goes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm like, what? I know the regs. I know the book. I can teach it backwards, forward. I was a blue rope. That's the top 10% of all instructors. You got the Smokey the Bear hat and you got a blue rope and everybody's, watch out. They know what they're doing. And he said, you know, you'd rather humble yourself than have God humble you. What? You know, the Bible tells you to humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He doesn't say, come to me and I will humble you. He says, humble yourselves. So when it comes to taking this yoke upon you, I've got to submit and I've got to humble myself before him and follow orders. Many will not serve because they're too proud to take orders. You know, I'd much rather take orders from my Lord and Savior than from a worldly sergeant, commander, captain, whatever. Can I tell you the benefits are out of this world? Heaven out of the world. Others will not serve unless there's a position or prestige or it's in the spotlight. I'll serve you, but I want to be, what do they say? Can I sit on your left? Can I be one of those people? You know, I just thank God I get to go to heaven. And I know I joke about it. If I just get in by the skin of my teeth, at least I get in. My stepfather was not a good man, drugs and very abusive. And he said, if I could just be a janitor in heaven, that would be enough. See, we think about going to heaven wearing 5-6 different crowns and robes of righteousness and walking around like we're something. I'm just going to be glad I'm going to be there. I'm not counting how big my mansion is. I'm not counting how many bedrooms. I'm just happy I get to go. Why? Because Jesus said I could. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Jesus says that he is meek and lowly of heart. And if somebody's got a reason to brag, it's Jesus. Somebody's got all wisdom, all knowledge, all everything. And yet he says, I am meek and lowly. Learn of me. Number four, the leisure in service. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Can I tell you, Christ is a good master. He's not a slave driver. You think about that yoke of oxen. I think about that whip and those reins whipping the oxen to get him to move, to get him to go, and yelling, barking commands, whatever it may be. Christ's yoke, unlike the yoke of sin, does not leave out rest. But those under the yoke of sin, they cannot rest. Isaiah 57:20-21. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I don't want to be in that position. And some of you may have a history when you, that used to be me. I chased my flesh and I chased the world and I chased this thing and I put that yoke of sin. And I was troubled on every side. Never had peace, never found rest. Whosoever therefore does not find rest of the soul obviously is not being meek and lowly. The fault is not in the yoke of Christ, but in us. It's much easier than the yoke and burden of the law. Though obviously it seems difficult at the beginning. You know, you got to get that load, and when it's from a dead stop, and you got to get it moving. And then you see the horses and they bear down to get it moving. And then once it gets going, maintaining it's a whole lot easier. And so, yes, for the new believer or the Christian who finally says, I'm gonna humble myself. I'm going to take this yoke upon me and I'm going to learn of Christ. And the more I read, the more I study and I watch how he acts and reacts and how he deals with hostile situation, how he deals with, in Sunday school we talked about the lawyer that came and wanted to trip him up on, well, who's my neighbor then? He knew how to answer them. I want to have those answers. I want to be able to, I'll obviously never be able to answer like Christ, but I want to be able to diffuse a situation, use scripture, put it in there, and let them go, wow, I wanted a reaction. I wanted to get you aggravated or upset, and it didn't work. Because it's not about me. You can make fun of me all you want. You can name call me all you want. You can, remember, I'm supposed to be dead. Dead to self. Those things aren't supposed to affect me. And so realizing the names they called Christ, the abuse he went through, not just, if thou be the Son of God. That still amazes me. On the cross. If thou be the Son of God. Come off the cross. Save yourself and us. If. I mean, he could have turned around. If I be the Son. I mean, whatever he wanted to do. But by him being on that cross, it's saving them from having to go to that cross. The wage, I was talking to that man this morning. The wage of sin is death. Somebody's going to pay for that sin. But guess what? Jesus already did. He already paid for it, so I don't have to. I just got to accept him and receive what he has done. And note that it's rest for your soul is the best rest of all. You know, we all talk about getting a good night's sleep. Oh, sleep more than 5 hours would be awesome. I don't know what that's. I'd be awesome to get more than five. People talk about sleep. Eight hours of sleep? What is that? Man, you think, I got 8 hours. I'd be up for the next 42 just going 100 miles an hour because I got rest. But rest for your soul? Man, when you got peace with God, I don't have to worry about how many hours of sleep I got. I got peace in my soul. Me and God, we're okay. Talk about this morning, having that the horizontal relationship with man, but having that vertical relationship with God. When this vertical situation is right, then it's so much easier to make this right. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's really hard to explain that to somebody who's never had that yoke upon them. You get a pastor or whatever, say, oh, yeah, just take the yoke, just get it, just serve God, and everything will be great. You're like, well, yeah, you, because you've been doing it 20 years. I'm just now starting out. Everybody's got to start somewhere. When I realized that Christ's love for that pastor or somebody else is love for me, he loves me the same. You know, some people think they have to earn Christ's love when they get saved. You know, Christ will never love me more than he does right now. Think about that. It's not, well, if I attend all three services, he'll love me more. If I put more money in the plate, he'll love me more. Well, if I teach Sunday school, he'll love me more. And some people work to try to earn his love when he already died on that cross saying, I love you. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus saying this. And I may not be able to fully describe it, to fully expound upon it like he could or would or did. But I've been there. I had to humble myself to that place, take that yoke, and learn of him. And the more I've learned of him, the lighter and easier that yoke is. Because I realize he's got a plan. My race is not your race. We looked at that 6 months ago, and I said, what God's called me to do is not the same thing he's called you to do. So you don't have to run my race. And I don't have to run your race. Your yoke's not going to be the same thing that he has for me. And vice versa. But if we both just humble ourselves, I'm ready to take that yoke upon me. And as I'm walking and going, I'm learning more of Christ. What he went through. How he did it. I'm studying. I'm reading. I'm praying. God, show me more. Most of us have had the preacher get up and you've read your Bible, you know the story, and somebody gets up and preaches it. You're like, I've never saw that before. How did I not? It's right there. How did I not see that? Well, he's been under that yoke maybe a little longer, and he's learned a little more. And he can show you from a different perspective, whether it's wisdom and age and longevity or something he or has gone through, and can expound and share with you. And, you know, it's one thing that if I experience it personally, I've got firsthand knowledge of what that is. And so once again, when I'm talking to somebody, I haven't been in your shoes. You've experienced things I haven't. So when you say, hey, you know what God taught me in the midst of this? Tell me. I want to learn. I want to know. And so I encourage you tonight, those who are the core of the church, those who are serving, and some of you in multiple areas. Sometimes we think, this yoke is pretty heavy. That's why I need to pause, humble myself, and learn of Christ. I want to be more like Christ. And I realize what he did for me. And he's not willing to ask me to carry a load that I can't handle. And if he thinks I am capable, and obviously he knows, that I need to quit saying, no, I can't do it. I'm like, okay, but I can't do it without you. He's like, you finally realized it. And then I'm like, oh, that was your plan all along? Yep. But you had to acknowledge it. You had to come to that place. For each one of us, it's different. Some of us are quicker learners than others. Some people catch on a lot faster. Some, it seems like you need the two before upside the head before we understand it. But I want to encourage you, stay in the book. Keep seeking. You may not understand all of it. Robert Draper's sharing, he listened to J. Vernon McGee, and he's gone, Genesis, he's all the way to Ruth. I'm so proud of you, brother. Just listening to it every day. Listen to somebody else who has more knowledge, has more wisdom, and go, wow, I never looked at it that way. That doesn't mean he's better. He realizes how much more he's got to humble himself. He realizes how much more he's got to learn, how much further he's got to grow. It's not to be puffed up in pride. It's meek and lowly. So you should never find somebody that's in the Bible and learning of Christ and getting more puffed up and more bigger. Like I said, when I come home, I want to share with my wife, guess what I learned today? I'm just so excited that I learned something. And I want to tell somebody. What if all of us were in there learning and can't wait to go tell somebody? Maybe somebody at work, a neighbor, a men's Bible study. Guess what? And somebody's like, you just now learned that? Hey, hey, hey. I'm slower than you are. But encouraging, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. I'm so proud of you. And like, so I can't wait till tomorrow morning when I do my devotions, what God's got for me tomorrow. So once again, let's learn of him. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. I know it sounds like a total contradiction. But when you finally submit and surrender and do it, then you'll understand what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for our time tonight. I don't know who all, what we need to hear this tonight or how it'll help somebody, encourage somebody. Lord, I pray even just for me, just to learn more of you, to realize all you've done for me and us. And Lord, may that be enough. May us realize how amazing you are, all you did for us. Help us just to try to live for you the best we can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Do want to remind you, on Tuesday, the men's Bible fellowship, the theme or title is Falling and Calling out of Judges chapter 2, verse 16. Judges chapter 2, verse 16. Do remind you, Wednesday night service, 6 p.m., the prophecy conference with Brother Fregali, the 22nd through the 24th. Women, prayer on the 25th. No, that's not. Not doing that, right? What got canceled? Just the Bible study. I'm sorry, the Bible study. I'm looking at the wrong one. And the Singspiration, May 31st. Sign up if you want to participate in that. And there's a fellowship to follow. Please keep Pastor Cook in prayer. Him and his wife, as they're traveling, they should be back Thursday. I think Brother Fregali flies in Thursday, so a lot's going on this week. But I do encourage you to keep them in prayer. And looking forward to Brother Fregali and the conference, and looking forward to having Pastor and his wife back as well. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.